Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast. I'm Lokelani, your host, and today my husband Alex is preaching about mindset. We're continuing our series in Matthew, looking at chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. I'm going to read those verses. Alex will share his sermon, and then we'll come back for a question and answer time where you will hear my response to applying this message to my life, and you'll also get some time to respond as well. So let's go ahead and read. We're in the ESV version. But real quick before we do, we had a comment on last week's YouTube video of our podcast. Lokelani/Alex, what is Lokelani doing generally during these sermons? It seems like she's taking notes, but is there something specific she likes to do in regards to that? Just curious. Thank you. And Mariah responded, I think it's a source of encouragement, like to take notes and stuff. However, I'm not sure. And yeah, that's true. It is a source of encouragement. And I also am doing it practically to help me understand the sermon, take notes on the sermon, recalling verses that the Lord is bringing to my mind as Alex is preaching. Also some housekeeping things, like I'll make little notes if we need to make an edit or add verses or something like that to the screen when editing. But mostly, yes, just taking notes for the sermon, also preparing for my part where I answer the question. And so, yeah, we really encourage you guys to grab a notebook and also follow along with us so that you can always reference back to your notes throughout the week as you're thinking about or chewing on what you heard in the sermon. All righty. We love you guys, and we love your feedback, and we try to answer your questions as we can. So keep them coming. Let's read. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear."
Amen. So what's going on here? This passage is about all kinds of things, but one thing we want to focus on is the disciples' attitude, or as I like to call it, mindset, because mindset is a term that is used a lot in our culture today. How to have a winning mindset, a victorious mindset, or a savage mindset. Like, we talk about this a lot in our culture, and there's such thing as a godly mindset. And a godly mindset is a merciful mindset, not a mean mindset. And so one of the things that is different with this particular explanation of the parable of the weeds is that Jesus has already talked about the weeds and the wheat in this parable earlier in Matthew 13, but right here, he's explaining it because in verse 36, the disciples asked Jesus, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds." Now, it's interesting. John MacArthur, in his commentary, he was pointing out that they didn't ask about the wheat. They said the parable of the weeds, meaning it was the part about the weeds that confused them. And what confused them was their mindset. They were confused because they had the wrong mindset. They had a mean mindset instead of a merciful mindset. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about the need for a change in mindset, the problem with our mindset, and then also the solution to have a mindset like Jesus, to face life mercifully, to face life like Jesus did, with strength, with confidence, with purpose, and with God-glorifying behavior, God-glorifying love for him. And so let's talk about what this whole parable is, if you forgot, if you didn't listen to that episode. So Jesus tells the story of a sower who throws seed out into the world, and the seed is the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom. Then another farmer comes in and he sows his own seed. This seed is the sons of the devil. The sower, the farmer, is the devil. And the servants say, "Hey, can we separate the weeds and the wheat?" And the sower says, no, you'll tear everything up. You'll mess it up. Wait, wait till the harvest. And Jesus explains that he will send his angels and the angels will reap. They will take away the weeds from the wheat, and the wheat, the righteous, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So that's what this whole thing's about. And the disciples would have understood all that, mostly. They would have got the idea of like, of course, the children of God are like wheat. Wheat is something great. We eat wheat. We eat grain. We eat bread. Awesome. They would have even understood the idea of a different sower sowing seed to sabotage that farmer's crop. That would have happened back then. They would have understood the idea of the righteous shining like the sun. That was something that was mentioned in Exodus. It's mentioned in Daniel as a prophecy of what the people of God will look like in the new world. All of that is great. All that's good. The part that hung them up was the part about the weeds, which is why in verse 36, they're like, what do you mean this parable of the weeds? Like, that part is hanging us up, Jesus, because what was the part that he said? He said the servants of God would say, hey, we see the weeds among the wheat. Can we separate the weeds from the wheat? Can we do that? And the sower says, no. That would have been like, what? What do you mean? How can we can't, like, isn't the Messiah the one that's supposed to come and reap and separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the weeds, the sinners, the pagans from the true children of Israel? Isn't that what he's all about? Mm-hmm. This is why they're confused, because Jesus didn't look like the Messiah that they thought he was going to look like. So verse 37, he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 54, because this is going to illustrate our need to lose our mean mindset. You see, the disciples had a mean mindset. They had a condemning mindset. They had a critical mindset. They were ready to reap out all the evil. They were ready to wreak havoc on those who do not trust God, do not believe God. They had a mean mindset. Now, to have a mean mindset is miserable. That's one reason why we need to lose it. But I want to show you a different reason for why we need to lose our mean mindset. Of course, people who live condemning, critical outlook, judgment kind of lives, they are miserable people. They are not happy. They, you know, everything's wrong in their life. They're just grumbly, grumpy people. And that is enough reason to want to change, enough reason to show our need to leave this mean mindset. But there's a greater, infinitely bigger problem with the mean mindset that tells us why we need to leave it. And the example is in Luke 9, 54. Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke 9, 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? In this chapter, the Samaritans are rejecting Jesus. James and John, Jesus calls them the sons of thunder because they're always ready to send lightning down and do something, you know, big and thunderous. They say, Jesus, do you want us to burn these guys down right now? They're thinking about stuff like Elijah. They're thinking about stories in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're thinking, we're with Jesus. He's God. We are his apostles. We have that power. Let's use that power. Let's send down some fire. And what are they doing? They're showing their mean mindset. They're so quick to condemn, to point the finger, to be critical, to be judgmental, to want to send judgment on those who aren't living the way that they know God is telling them to live. But in so doing, they're being pharisaical, they're being hypocritical, and they're not even realizing that they aren't being Christ-like. Mm. To have a mean mindset is to say, I'm going to put myself on the same level as God. And I'm going to separate who I think is God's child and who I think is not God's child. You aren't given that right to put yourself at the same level as God. This mean mindset is a mindset that will destroy you from the inside out and will end up just hurting yourself. And so we know the need to change this mindset. But here's the problem with the mindset. Verses 37 through 42 tell us this. He answered them, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it'll be with the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This shows us why we can't get the merciful mindset of God. Because not just because of our mean mindset, but because of how high and lofty the position of the Son of Man is and how merciful he is. It is astronomical. Look at what it just said. It just says, the reason why I'm not going to let you guys just start killing people because you think they're weeds is because the Son of Man will send his angels. The Son of Man is a term used in Daniel chapter 7 as Daniel got a vision after the lion's den of what heaven's going to be like in the new world, a picture of what heaven was like right now, a picture of the Ancient of Days, of God the Father, the picture of Jesus. He got this whole crazy vision, and he said he saw one like the Son of Man. That means that was a picture of Jesus incarnation. Jesus coming to earth as a human. 100% human, 100% man. It was a picture of his, not only his incarnation, but his compassion and his mercy, because he was going to come down here and he was going to help us and he was going to look like us. He was going to put skin on like you and I. Yet he has the authority over angels. So he's not like any other human you've ever known before. He commands angels in our passage to go and reap out and gather up all temptations, all causes of sin, all those who are lawbreakers. He is in control of all that. And yet Peter tells us that he is not willing for any to perish. Peter tells us that God is not being slow to send back the Son of Man, but he has a plan, and he's given us time to repent. The Son of Man is merciful. The Son of Man is compassionate. What does it mean to be merciful? It means to not give someone what they deserve. A picture of the Son of Man being merciful is in John chapter 13, verse 26. And I mean, it's hard to get a better picture of the mercy of Jesus than this. Jesus answered, although there's tons, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Jesus's last meal, celebrating Passover, they're like, "Jesus, who's going to betray you? Because you're telling us someone's going to betray you. Who's it going to be?" He says, "The one I give the bread to after I dipped it." He dips it, gives it to Judas. This was the greatest way to honor somebody at dinner. The person who took the first bite, the person who, you know, took the first bread after it had been dipped, was the person of honor at dinner. Jesus was honoring Judas. Why? He's merciful. He's giving Judas an opportunity to repent. You're telling me the guy that's trying to kill you, the guy that you know is going to betray you for 30 pieces of silver, your friend, what does it say in Psalms 55, 12 and 13? It says, if this was an enemy that betrayed me, I could bear it. But not so you. You are my companion. You are my friend. That's a prophecy about Judas. He's saying, it hurts greater because this is my friend betraying me. Mm. Not a stranger, not an enemy betraying me, a friend. This broke Jesus's heart. This, of course, would have made Jesus so upset, so angry that a friend that he poured so much into would treat him like this. And yet what? He still honors him at dinner because he's merciful and he's compassionate. He's giving him an opportunity to turn from what he's doing. He's getting an opportunity to change his mindset from mean, because the mean mindset is a mindset that says, this is not how I want things to be. Me first. I don't like it. I want this to change. I want it to be how I want it to be. I want to be God. That's a mean mindset. That mean mindset needed to change in Judas. Jesus was giving him an opportunity to change it. He didn't take it. The problem with the merciful mindset that we need to have is that it's too hard for us. We could never do what Jesus did right here at dinner. If we knew somebody was going to betray us and they were a friend of ours, we're just going to sit down next to them at dinner and act like it's okay and give them an opportunity of forgiveness. Easier said than done. Easier. You know Judas is in your life. Would you treat them that way? That mindset is a mindset of strength. There's nobody stronger than Jesus. Look at the composure. Look at the strength. Look at the confidence. Look at the lack of fear Jesus has, knowing he's facing his death. He's calm and collected right here, showing his merciful mindset. I mean, we really need this, but it's just too hard for us. Something's going to have to happen inside of us. And that's why verse 43 ends with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Getting so excited, I can't even read or talk. Hear what? The fact that we're going to mirror God. Your mindset changes when you hear, you will mirror. Verse 43 says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The good news is that Jesus was going to be melted so we could have his mindset. That's the good news. Because he says the tares, the weeds, are going to be plucked out and burned, melted for all of eternity, burning forever without burning up. That is what we deserve for our mean mindset. Jesus doesn't deserve that because of his merciful mindset and because he had his mind always set on the things above, on God the Father. And yet on the cross, what do we see happening? We see him melting into nothing. We see him burning under the wrath of God, under the grievous, just disgusting nature of sin and death. He's burning under all of that. Why? So we could have his mindset. He knows we can't have the merciful mindset on our own. He knows we can't change. He knows he's got to change us. What changes you is what he says right here. If you know what I'm talking about, hear me out. And if you really hear me, it'll break something inside of you in a good way. It'll change you from the inside out. Knowing that he was melted so you could have his mindset is what happens in the heart of a righteous person. That's what makes them righteous. So they stop trying to prove that they can be better on their own. So they stop trying to play God. So they stop trying to rely on this mean mindset. And so they stop trying to gain the merciful mindset on their own when they realize that he was melted so we could have his mindset. And that's the only way we can be saved.
Yes.
Then you become righteous. Mm-hmm. And it's a righteousness not that you've earned. It's a righteousness that's been given to you. Mm-hmm. So then he says in verse 43, the righteous shall shine like mm-hmm. the sun. Mm-hmm. What is he talking about? If you go down to the beach where we, you know, 8 minutes from where we live, there's this place called PK's. It's a big surf spot. And there's a restaurant there called the Beach House. Every night, people go out on the grass, take pictures of sunset. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The sun is behind the clouds. It's pink and blue and it's gorgeous. That is not the picture of the righteous shining like the sun. In the Middle East, when the sun rose, people would hide from the sun. They would run into the shade. They would cover themselves with veils. They would run away. Why? At times, the sun could be terrifying and horribly hot. They would run from it. That is a picture of what's going to happen with all those who are not children of God when the children of God are revealed and they shine like the sun. People are going to want to hide themselves because of how brightly we shine, not with a glory of our own, but who are we reflecting? We're reflecting the glory of God. We're mirroring the glory of God. To be righteous is to mirror his glory, to reflect his glory. And Jesus was melted so that we could mirror him. Talk about purpose. Talk about hope. This is what we have to look forward to. This is what why we live right now. I want you to go to Exodus 34, 35 so you can get a better understanding of what this means through this example. Exodus 34, 35. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put a veil over his face again until he went to speak with him. Him is the Lord. Moses would speak with the Lord to know what the Lord wanted to say to the people of God. He would meet in this tent with God, and he would meet there open face, unveiled. And as he did, the glory of God would soak into Moses so that he would come out still shining, still reflecting him, so much so that he would have to cover himself because the people were like, it's too bright. It's too crazy. It's terrifyingly beautiful and it's terrifyingly holy. So he had to cover himself. This is a glimpse of what we are going to look like. Daniel prophesies about it. Jesus brings it up again right here in Matthew 13. This is what we have to look for. The Father made you to mirror him. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. You were meant to mirror his glory throughout all the earth. That's what you're made for. He loves you. That's why he sent Jesus to restore the image of God in you so that you can mirror him. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to mirror. Why didn't Jesus just stay here on earth? He's God. He's man. Why couldn't he just stay here and live thousands and thousands of years and still be here today walking the earth? Why did he go back into heaven? Because the Holy Spirit had to be sent to empower us to mirror him. The Holy Spirit's job is to empower you to give glory to God, to mirror God. So Jesus, who are we mirroring? We're mirroring someone who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, where all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And so he went up to heaven so that we could have something to mirror. So the Holy Spirit could give us something to shine, to mirror, to reflect. When people look at you and you live for God, they're seeing a glimpse of what you're going to be like in the new world. They're seeing the reason why people may not like you, the reason why people may love you and may want to be around you is because they see you reflecting Jesus. This won't happen unless you have a change of mindset. And we've been given a mindset that is meant to mirror him. We're going to mirror instead of melt. And that's what changes your mindset. The more you think about that we deserve to melt, and yet we're going to mirror. Because Jesus, who perfectly mirrored God with his merciful mindset, melted so you could have his mindset, so you could mirror God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God rose him from the dead with all power in heaven and earth. And that is what it looks like to have a new mindset, to be changed. To have a new mindset is to have new life. Jesus' resurrection proves that, represents that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the mindset that you've given us in Christ. Help us to look at others with love, Lord, to not be so quickly to condemn, to put others down because they don't look like how we think they should look like because they don't look like children of God. But God, in so doing, we don't look like children of God. And so help us to be loving and merciful and compassionate like your son, knowing that the day is coming when he will separate all evil from this world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, this is part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help apply this message to your life.
Amen podcast. Yeah. Amen podcast.
Let's make it even shorter. Episode. Yes, but our question today is, how is God changing your mindset? How is God changing your mindset? And I'll answer first as always. And then we'd love to hear your feedback as well. For me, he's changing my mindset. I was just telling Alex, I think this last night, that, you know, we had a busy day. I mean, every day is kind of the same, but it feels busy because we have 5 children. So, you know, we were ending our day. We put the kids to bed and we were sitting on the couch and I was just like, man, I think that one of the really big downfalls of 2020 was like, it taught us to be in this like mindset of like negativity always. Like even when there's nothing pressing us or when we aren't feeling anxious or worried about something or feeling like we have a task that we need to do or a problem we need to tackle, like that we need to put ourselves back in a negative mindset. And I was like, I'm sitting here and I'm feeling like I need something to worry about. And I don't have anything to worry about right now. And I'm not actively worried about or anxious about something, as I am sometimes after we put the kids to bed. There are sometimes moments when I'm like, okay, I'm worried about this. I'm anxious about this. Like, I need to process this, figure this out. And I'm like, I'm not, but I feel like I need to come up with something. And I'm like, that is just horrible. And of course, it didn't start with 2020. This, like, state of dissatisfaction, having a mindset of unthankfulness or dissatisfaction or just wanting to complain. Like, we know that that did not develop over the last 4 years, but that's always existed. But I think it just really amplified this state, or almost this, like, it tricked us into believing we have to feel that way. And I think, so like, God is changing my mindset actively in that way right now. Like, okay, I don't want to get into that state of feeling like I have to always be worrying about something that's happening in the world, something that's could affect my family or couldn't affect my family, whether it's things like the foods we're eating or big world events. Like, you know, there's always something to worry about. And I think that the way that my mindset can be changed is through prayer, his word, and contemplation, you know, not just checking the boxes and doing those things, but really taking the time to contemplate. And I love how you brought up, you know, the mirroring aspect, because to really look in the mirror, you know, of our souls, like, that's when, you know, today I straightened my hair. And I had to stand in front of the mirror a lot longer than I usually do when getting ready. And that's what we need to do spiritually, daily, whether we can spend, we have the grace of spending a lot of time in contemplation, or if we have, you know, just 5 minutes. I think that really helps change our mindset day to day. Initially, of course, we need our mean mindset to be changed to a merciful mindset through the gospel, through finally understanding the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and how we can only receive righteousness through him. And he's the one who actively transforms us, not ourselves, not our works. That's like the initial, but, you know, as a Christian, the life of a Christian, day to day, we have to die daily to who we are and to the mindset that we naturally incline to, and take on his mindset so that we can have minds that are full of gratitude and joy and grace. And then we can, that makes us effective in the kingdom. You know, like, if we have that sort of mindset, I think about, I don't know where it's at, but it's like, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, like, whatever is pure, like, think on those things. When we have that kind of mindset, we're able to help this lost and dying world. They're able to see us shine, like this passage was saying. I know that's talking about, like, when he comes back, but, like, you know, us being light on this earth. But yeah, I just think that it's so ironic, like, the black mirror is like our phones, right? Our TVs, our whatever electronic devices. When we spend so much time in front of that mirror, the black mirror, it really puts us back into that mean mindset or that negative mindset of like, man, this is a huge problem. This is a huge problem. Oh, everything in life is so hard. Like, this is so crazy. I don't know how to, but when we're spending time in the mirror of God or like his word, spending time, not just praying to, you know, just to do the practice, but to really like, okay, this is not just a time of, you know, a traditional practice. It's a time to really contemplate, my sin, to confess my sin so I can receive healing and forgiveness from Christ, and to allow his word to like penetrate my mind, to change me from the inside out. So I'm not just taking something in and not really letting it have like the overflow of my life that it needs to. You know, we can consume so much and have some knowledge, but it's not actually changing us. And so, yeah, I think that's my feedback.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that example of just looking in the mirror, and then also like just the black mirror and how there are so many different temptations that try to get us back into that mean mindset instead of having a merciful mindset. And yeah, that's just very good. And I think there's just no life in the mean mindset. And there's also, it's also just offensive to God.
Yeah.
You know, and he's holy and we're offending a holy, perfect God when we, you know, think that we, then we, when we set our minds on doing things our way, you know, that's what sin is. So, yeah, it's really good. Thank you for saying, sharing that.
Yeah. I think, like when we are looking in the mirror, getting ready, we're trying to make ourselves presentable, you know, available to the outside world. And like, that's, we see the importance, you know, of spending time in front of the mirror to get ready. Otherwise we wouldn't be getting ready every day, right? We must think it's important in some way. And I think it's the same way, like we need to spend time mirroring him so that we can be effective in the kingdom.
That's good right there. It's very good. Beautiful. Well, how is God changing your mindset? Let us know. And with that said, we love you guys. We pray that this blesses you. Share it with a friend, like, review, rate, all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yes. And if you'd like to support this podcast financially, you can visit amenpodcast.com/donate. We love you guys. And we're just so grateful to be able to do this. So see you next time. Until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.